that I believe with all of my heart. In the coming days, we're going to have an angelic visitation in the church, such as we have not had in years. You know, I've just been telling Chad over here, who operates all this for me. I've been blessed, you know. I've seen angels when I was young. I've had experiences with God that I talk about in Good Morning, Holy Spirit, my book that I wrote years ago that's still selling to my amazement. And I am convinced now we're about to enter into another season of angelic visitations. Back in the 70s, they were happening regularly. And I believe they're coming back again. I remember one time being in a car with a group of young people, and a dear, sweet old man appeared on the highway, hitchhiking. And all around us were farms. There was nothing around, not even a building anywhere. You know, Canada, once you go outside Toronto a few miles, you're in no man's land almost. Just land everywhere with corn growing and wheat and such things. And this man was in the highway, hitchhiking by this massive farm. And we stopped. And I'll never forget his face. He had most beautiful hair, very white, very full. And his face was no wrinkles at all. It looked like a young old man. I don't know how else to say it. And very red face, very healthy, beautiful look. And very gentle, very soft spoken. And he looked at us, he said, "Can you give me a ride?" The car, we were in a Volkswagen, the car was packed. And dear Bob Tadman sitting up there driving with his wife Lorraine, I'm sitting in the back with two other young people. And what was so amazing is he's asking us for a... Yeah, just go and shut that phone, please. So he's asking us for a ride, and we said, well, we don't have space. And finally somebody said, we left, and someone said, you know, let's just go back and pick him up. And one of us can stay behind, or two of us can stay behind, and then you guys come back, pick us up. So give him a ride, and then you come get us. I was one of the ones who actually volunteered to stay behind with one of the young people. So we make a U-turn. We didn't go far at all. Made a U-turn to come back, and he was gone. Could not find him anywhere. And all of us got out of the car looking through the fields, because we thought maybe something had happened to him. Nowhere to be found. I'm here to tell you, he was an angel, no doubt. And back then, so many stories about angels appearing to people. I had them appear to me in my room. I told you yesterday, nearly every night at times, for that season in 1974. It was a most remarkable time in my life. Father, I pray today that you will show your people from your word the reality of what's coming in the name of Jesus. Bless them, Lord, greatly. God's people said amen. Now remember, I said yesterday, five different angelic hosts. The seraphs, the cherubs, which we have not seen on earth, but they were seen in Bible days by Isaiah and Isaiah 6, by Ezekiel and Ezekiel. And then the archangels of glory that did appear more than once. I saw Michael the archangel back in the 70s in my own room. I'll never forget that. I told you that yesterday. And of course, you have the living creatures of Revelation that spoke judgment on the earth. And then you have common angels. And Michael and Gabriel, if you look at Michael and Gabriel, you will see that Michael, Michael, that means one like God, and Gabriel, mighty one of God. Michael, responsible for Israel, Gabriel responsible for New Testament matters. Even in the Old Covenant, he was involved in New Testament matters. And they look like man, Daniel 10:18, I told you that. Now, Michael and Gabriel are over a host of innumerable number of angels. And these angels, number one, protect us. Psalm 34:7, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivers them. And they also deliver us. Remember, I shared all that yesterday already, book of Acts 5:17 through 20. They delivered the apostles out of prison and said, go preach the gospel. They delivered them. They scatter our enemies away from us. In Psalm 35, it says, let the angel of the Lord chase them and persecute them. They also judge the wicked. Genesis 19:12-13, they came to judge Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, let's keep going with the next, which I did not talk about yesterday, so I'm going to continue. Let's go to Matthew. Let's go to chapter 1. And let's go to verse 20. And verse 20 says, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. That's Joseph. Saying, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. So they came to guide Joseph. They do guide the saints. In the Old and New Testament, we see it continually. And then they strengthen the saints. In Acts chapter 27, they came to strengthen Paul the Apostle, if you remember. You know, just write these wonderful scriptures down. They're all in the Bible. For there stood by me, Acts 27:23, for they stood by me this night, the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and God hath given thee all them that sail with you. So here we see angels involved in strengthening Paul, and angels also assist in the answers of prayer, believe it or not, but it's in the Bible. They cause prayers to be answered. In the future, I believe this is going to happen real rapidly. It's going to happen suddenly. You're going to start hearing about angelic visitations around the world. You know, very numerous visitations. And in Acts chapter 12, the Bible talks about this most remarkable fact about angels. So let's look at the book of Acts. Let's look at chapter 12. And let's look at verse 5. And the Bible says through verse 11, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church to God for him. When Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And of course, you know what happened. He set him free and brought him out of that prison. So here we see angels assisting in the answer of prayer. Someone prayed, angels were released. And they carry the saints to glory. Oh, I can tell you so much about that, but we don't have the time. But I know of one precious saint. I went to pray in the hospital for a lady one time. She was a very precious woman of God. And she had an amazing visitation right before she passed. Yeah. And she saw her loved ones. She had lost her voice totally from cancer. And here she's laying in the hospital, unable to talk for a long time. And as she was dying, she was a member of our church in OCC, as she was dying, her voice came back and she rejoiced with, hey! And she was gone. And a relative of hers, Frenchman, Mr. Vachon, I think it was, well, anyways, it doesn't matter. He was Andre Merle, Mr. Merle, Andre Merle's daddy. And they asked me, Andre and his wife were wonderful members of our church, very classy people. And the dad was a Frenchman. And they said, would you come pray for our dad in the hospital? So I went over. And he would always complain, this sweet man, about the air conditioning in our church. He loved the Lord. And he would come and sit way in the back of OCC. And he would always complain how cold it was back there. Because he would sit right under the vents, you know. And anyway, so he's in the hospital. As we're praying, the Lord's face appeared to him. And he was trembling. He said, I can see him, I can see him. And he passed shortly thereafter. How precious is the Lord to allow his saints not only to see him, but also to be taken to glory by angels themselves. Wow. So in Luke 16:22, it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. How sad that wicked people are just buried, but the saints, an angel comes to take them home. Oh, thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Now, when the Lord hung on the cross, he said something really powerful. Let's look at Matthew 26:53. You know, I feel something just talking about this right now. I really, really do. Thinketh thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels. You know what a legion is? 6,000. So think about what that means. Here are thousands of angels to appear to rescue the Son of God. And having read that, I believe every one of us has at least 6,000 angels to take care of us. No, I can't prove it to you, but I don't believe for one second that we only have one angel. I believe we believers have way more than one angel taking care of us. And they may even rotate, because we see it in Scripture how they care. Are they not ministering spirits? Didn't say spirit in Hebrews. Are they not ministering spirits sent for the heirs of salvation? So I think it's way more than one, but one is plenty. One angel destroyed 185,000 people at one time. You remember when King Hezekiah prayed, and that one angel destroyed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers trying to attack Jerusalem back then? Now, angels, and this is something you must know, angels are continually looking at you. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, angels are looking and know exactly where you are, what you're doing. For I think, 1 Corinthians 4:9, for I think that God has set us forth apostles last, as it were, appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle unto the world and to angels and to men. Paul was saying we're being watched by angels all the time. But also notice what it says in 1 Peter. I read that yesterday, but we need to look at it one more time with that in mind. That here, this amazing verse says to us in verse 21, 1 Peter chapter 1. Let me just, verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. It says that they are watching us continually. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things talked about the Old Covenant prophets, which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the God, with the Holy Ghost, meaning the apostles, sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Meaning angels are watching every time someone is saved. They are glued to what's going on in that life. Jesus said they rejoice at every salvation. But Paul the Apostle goes on further, and Peter goes on further to say they're always looking. And the Bible calls them watchmen, holy watchers. So angels are not at all unaware of what's happening in your life. I believe that they're heavily involved in everything that happens to us. In the book of Daniel, chapter 4, and verse 13. I hope you're enjoying this, you sweet people. I saw in the visions of my head, Daniel 4:13, behold, a watcher, he called him, and a holy one came down from heaven. So, Paul the Apostle said something even, I think, more amazing. He said that they actually watch our work. They are continually examining when we minister, And more than that, the Bible says this, I charge thee before God, 1 Timothy 5:21, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. So, he's telling him that the angels are watching. So angels are watching not only us, they're watching our work. And here's something I think so amazing. As they watch, they learn about God's wisdom. And as they see his dealings with us, they learn about him. And they begin to glorify him and worship him. You know, God reveals himself to the angelic through his dealings with the saints. You heard me right. Ephesians 3, verse 9 and 10. Listen, please carefully. The angels are not filled with the Holy Spirit. So they cannot really know the Lord. They cannot know him like you and I know him. Nor can they love him. They have no capacity to love. They can rejoice. They have emotions. But nowhere in the Bible do we see angels saying to the Lord, I love you. Or anywhere where it says, for God so loved the angels, you know. But God only speaks to the saints and says, I love you with an everlasting love. He never said that to the angels. So here, angels learn what God is like. What his nature is like through watching the way he deals with you. So Ephesians 3, 9 and 10. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Now the fellowship of the mystery was that the gospel would be preached to the Gentiles too. Which from the beginning of the world had been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus. So God could not reveal anything without his Son, without doing it through his Son, because it says, who created all things by Jesus Christ, meaning angels too, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church God's wisdom. So, as they watch you and I, they learn about God's wisdom. They see his dealings with us. And the Bible says something so beautiful in Hebrews 12:22. And then I'm going to pray with you and continue tomorrow. So don't miss tomorrow. There's so much. I want to prepare you. Really, I want to prepare you for the coming visitation of the angelic. The angels are about to visit so many people and you around the world. But it says in Hebrews 12:22, but ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and you've come to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Wow. So he says earlier how Israel feared and trembled when God spoke to them. But we haven't come to Mount Sinai where the law was given. And anyone who disobeyed was slain. Even an animal could not come near the mountain. He said, so terrible was the sight in verse 21 that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. No, nobody wanted to get near that mountain. But we are come unto Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, heavenly Jerusalem, innumerable company of angels. So, as believers, it's a part of our inheritance to know the activity of God's angels in our daily lives. Now, Tomorrow when I continue, I'm going to talk about angels preparing us for revival. I want to talk about how they have charge. Literally, God has given them a charge over your life. How our praise affects them. How our silence affects them negatively. Because in the Psalms it says the angels excel in strength when we praise the Lord and declare His word. Our involvement in the defeat of Lucifer one day with the angels. In Revelation 12, it's quite clear. And I want to also talk about something that I think is very, very important. The Bible says that their main function is to cause people to worship the Lord. They actually assist saints, not in worship. They themselves, you know, cannot adore Him and so on. But they assist the saints too. There's just so much in the Bible about this. I want to talk about their activity throughout the Word of God, their activity in the lives of the saints, and the second coming. So now as we approach the second coming of the Lord, and I believe it's going to happen so soon, we're going to see tremendous visitations of angels, because angels were extremely active before the Lord came to earth the first time, extremely active after He ascended to heaven in the life of the apostles and the church. And throughout history, we see Him extremely active before, during, and after revivals and the move of the Spirit. Father, I give You praise for what's coming. Lord, I pray, prepare everyone watching, everyone listening, Lord, for this coming blessed, glorious, angelic visitation from glory. Now, Lord, that we might seek You with all our hearts and find You and find our liberty and joy in You. Bless Your people, Lord, now meet every need in their life in the sweet, darling name of Jesus. I give You praise. Amen. It's time, as daily, to give to the Lord. I don't expect you to give a seed every day, but I want you to sow seed when God moves on your heart and when God blesses you financially. So it's time for many of you right now to give, because giving is in the Scriptures. You know, if we hold back from God, we cannot get the harvest. The greatest thing, now please hear me out, the greatest thing you can do now for your future to protect yourself and your family financially from the coming disaster that's coming on earth is to sow seed in God's work. No. Putting money in the bank, you can lose it overnight. Look what happened during COVID. How many businesses shut down? People lost jobs, lost money. Now that the government has to send money so people can pay their bills. No giver will ever suffer at times of crisis. Even in 2020, I've heard from many, many Christians how they were prospering, their businesses prospering. I had a man call me named Joshua Voorhees. He owns McDonald's. He said, Pastor Benny, you can't believe how much I'm prospering. Yet others were shutting down, and he himself prospered because he was a giver. He said, we're giving more to God now than ever. And because he saw the results. So 2020 was proof to so many. God will never forsake you in times of trouble. You know, you'll never be able to tell God's hand when things are good. But when things get bad and He's still prospering you, you say, you know what, this is God. So, sow seed right now, because you don't know what's coming tomorrow. And I promise you, you're going to see blessings on your life and no lack in Jesus' name. Lord, bless them, prosper them, increase them, protect them. I give You praise. Amen. Remember, honor the Lord with your substance. The first fruit of your increase, so will your barns be filled with plenty. Presses will burst out with new wine. I have not seen the righteous forsaken or the seed begging for bread. That's God's word. You can sow in faith right now. Go ahead and do it on the platform you're watching me on. Right there, Benny Hinn Ministries. You can go to our website, do it on the platform, or simply text BHM 45777. Or you can send it in the mail. our mailing address is there on the screen. It's a lot faster to do it online, so, and a whole lot simpler too, I think. And you don't have to pay for postage. All right. Much blessings. Love you much. And tomorrow I finish this amazing teaching. Shalom.